south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
First, a little housekeeping. Lots of people have been asking me when my next Expat Insider Seminar is going to take place. Well, I've been trying to home in on February 2024. Thing is, though, when I was putting together the last few seminars during the COVIDiot thing, there were people who signed up who turned out to be tire kickers. People who promise, even swear they're going to come. They even pay their deposit. Then at the last minute, you know, a week or two before the seminar is going to launch, they back out. Now, in the early days, when I do a seminar, I've been doing them for, what, 10 years now, that rarely happened. But lately, in the past year or two, oh, we've had plenty of signups, all right. But also plenty of last-minute dropouts. And you know what that does to the schedule? I mean, look, we have to book the hotels and reservations and stuff months in advance. So I'm just a little bit leery, a little gun-shy of putting together a seminar, getting everything in order, all the ducks lined up, all the deposits paid. Then, at the last minute, even a couple of weeks before the seminar, to me, that's the last minute. I get that sorry, Johnny email. I just can't make it. Problem is, you know, a lot of couples come down, even families. That could mean there are two or multiple people canceling all at once. Hotels, especially the smaller and boutique hotels that we use, just hate that. Anyway, those are the kind of things that throw a wrench into the works. So for all you guys and gals who are on that Expat Insider Seminar waiting list, I've been accumulating that list for some months now. And all you guys and gals out there who are thinking about signing up for the proposed February seminar. Anyway, if you're going to commit, man, commit. Remember, the seminars are exactly a week long. Anyway, if you're going to sign up or get on that waiting list, please don't sign up unless you're dead set on it. So if you're seriously interested and want to get on that early bird waiting list, send me an email, theexpatfinals@gmail.com. Enough said about that. On with the shoe. You know, one of the main questions that comes up all the time is, what's a gringo or expat to do if they get in a car or motorcycle accident? What the hell do you do next? Well, I always say, call your Latino lawyer. Have him on speed dial. Man, that dates me, huh? I don't think there's any such thing as speed dial anymore. Everyone's on kind of a speed dial, right? Well, there's no better way to explain the ins and outs and the things that can happen if you're the driver and you get into an accident than to tell a real live gringo expat boots on the ground accident story. Because this could happen to you if you insist on driving. You know, negotiating the roads and traffic down here in Latin America is a whole different world than it is up in the States. Like they say, you'll have to get used to it. The fact is, though, you never will. But you knew that already, right? Or did you? Well, as good old expat Eddie likes to say, the only thing that Latin American transit systems have in common with U.S. transit systems is that we drive on the same side of the road. But that's not always true either. That said, an email came in from one of our favorite people, a guy who, along with his father, is a multiple Expat Insider Seminar repeat offender. Most of you who've been to an Expat Insider Seminar in the last couple of years know him well. Anyway, he and his dad packed it in a while ago. They used to live up in California. They've been living here in Latin America, in Guatemala, Guatemala City, that is, for the last 3 years. I think you're going to like and be very surprised at what he has to say. So here it goes. He says, hey, Johnny. Joe Kano here. It's been a while since I've written, and boy, have there been some things going on. Before I get into those things, he says, I want to let you know that I've changed my name. Joe Kano was a name that I started using when I was spending a lot of time in the Philippines. You see, Joe is a common name in the Philippines that locals call Americans or white tourists. Joe as in G.I. Joe. Kano, my last name, as in Americano, by the way, is another common name that Filipinos call white American tourists, Americano, which when I'd hear that with my sick sense of humor, it always made me laugh. Well, Johnny, he says, I live in Latin America now, so it's time I adopted a Latin American name. I'd like to formally reintroduce myself as Joe Rico, Joe Rico, R-I-C-O, which for you non-Spanish speakers out there, roughly translates to delicious, Delectable Joe. All right, me Johnny here. Man, he's right. The word rico is used all the time here in Latin America. They use it to describe anything that's extra good or scrumptious or delicious. You'll hear the phrase all the time. Que rico. With that rolled tongue R, which literally translates to how rich. So a piece of cake could be rico. Also, a person who has lots of money could be rico, because rico means rich. Lots of definitions there for the word rico, and they're all good. And of course, if you're referring to a lady, it's que rica. Or as some Latino guys will say, que rica chica, which could mean one or two things. What a rich girl, as in a lot of money. Or what a hot girl, as in what a catch. But back to Joe Rico's email. By the way, it takes some time for a gringo down here to learn how to roll his R's. Sometimes they never learn. So you'll hear rica instead of rica. Or Puerto Rico or Costa Rica instead of Puerto Rico and Costa Rica. Funny thing, too. Some Americans can do it, but Canadians can't seem to get it. So anyway, our man, Mr. Rico, goes on to say, Johnny, I've been living south of the border for just about 3 years now. Only back to the States for a short time because I had to attend a wedding. He says, the only thing I would change about that is the fact that I would politely decline any first world wedding invitations. That would have allowed me to get down here to Latin America much sooner. Fact is, Johnny, he says, I'm having the time of my life and don't regret leaving the U.S. one bit. If I could give your listeners some advice, though, quit making excuses. Just do it. If you haven't come down here to check it out, tickets are cheap. If you want your hand held, Rita, Johnny's seminar point lady, will hold it. If you want to do it in a group, come to the next seminar. It's worth it. If you want to get plugged in socially, there's plenty of seminar people down here that regularly meet up. Very interesting people, too. So just be honest with yourself. All the reasons you have are just excuses. Or maybe it's fear. Whatever it is, fear, procrastination, get over it. Anyway, just come down and at least see what you're missing. How could that hurt? You probably need a vacation anyway. That said, I've got some happy, weird, and exciting news for you. You know, lots of gringos and expats come down needing to start a business to survive. And lots of gringos and expats start businesses because they're bored or just need something to do. Well, Johnny, as you know, in the last 3 years, I've taken a few cracks at it myself. So I'm happy to report to you today, my aesthetic clinic I've been trying to set up is running nicely. We have very happy repeat customers who say it's the best clinic of its kind they've ever been to. In fact, there was one guy, yes, guys come to these aesthetic clinics too. You might think they're just for women, but they're not. He told us he'd been to every aesthetic clinic in the city and couldn't get the results he wanted. Well, he and his Black Metal Amex card are very happy repeat customers. Now, Johnny, you know me, and the point of that wasn't just to brag a little, but rather to tell your listeners that, number one, yes, there are people with lots of money here in Central America, specifically Guatemala. Number two, yes, you can start a profitable business here. It's a bit of a pain in the ass at first, a bit backwards and a bit confusing, but that's what lawyers are for, right? Of course, these days, online businesses are the way to go, for sure. But if you're a bit old-fashioned like me, a good old brick-and-mortar business is absolutely possible. Hell, I'm even expanding and distributing beauty supplies from Colombia now. There's just so much opportunity here. All right, me Johnny here again. By the way, an aesthetic clinic is sort of like a beauty salon on steroids with all kinds of extra high-tech bells and whistles. Lasers, Botox, ultrasonic skin treatments, body sculpting, etc., etc. Just like up in the States, but at third world prices. All right, then Joe says, you know, Johnny, I've been trying to set up a stem cell clinic in Guatemala too. And as for that clinic, well, the health department here in Guatemala is pretending they don't know what stem cells are, even though there are three doctors currently, and incorrectly, I might add, doing them now. He says, the health department won't give me a license, so I'm still trying to figure out who I need to bribe. Did I say that out loud? That there might be a bribe involved? I guess I did. Sometimes that's what you have to do in order to get things pushed through. Anyway, Johnny, I hope to be up and running with the stem cell clinic by the end of this year, or very early 2024. That is, as soon as I find the right government guy who needs Christmas money. By the way, Johnny, another roadblock we're running into with the stem cell clinic thing is that we're going to bring new treatments into the country. new as far as they don't exist here in Guatemala yet. Though they're not really cutting-edge technology, they're tried-and-true technologies from the U.S. and Europe. I'll be sure to update you when it's closer to fruition, and hopefully you'll give me a plug on your show, Johnny. Then he says, in other more exciting and edgy news, I did something I said I would never do again. I bought a motorcycle. Yep, I know. I'm one of those now. As you call them, Johnny, highway cockroaches. Highway cucarachas. So, will I be one of those pesky people on motos that cause so much trouble? Well, yes and no. True, I am on a moto, yes. Do I drive like a dickhead? No. What I did was buy a little 200cc Hero X Plus, one of the dual sports motos available here in Guatemala. It's bigger than the common 125cc rice burner motos you see. But for those of you that know me, you know why I went a little bit bigger. So then you might ask, why only 200cc's and not something much bigger? I mean, they go up to, what, 1,500cc's for a big Harley or an Indian. Though you get that big, it's like riding a horse. Anyway, I stayed small at 200cc's. The reason is, in a word, traffic. On a smaller bike, I can split lanes and move around the city with such ease. Johnny, you know my number one complaint about Guatemala City is the traffic. Well, guess what? I've got no traffic complaints anymore. You wouldn't believe the freedom I have. I can go anywhere I want, whenever I want. And I get there fast, never stuck in a traffic jam. So I guess I'll need to find something else to bitch about. When you're in the third world, there's always something, right? Here's the thing, Johnny. On my moto, people always give me lots of space and seem to treat me very well, which, as you know, is quite strange, odd even, since motorcyclists are generally considered road scum. So they get no respect from automobile traffic. The only thing I can come up with is that even though I'm wearing a full helmet, they somehow know I'm a gringo. I've got some kind of gringo moto advantage that other road cucarachas just don't have. Though I'm not sure how or why. All right, me Johnny here. Well, I kind of think Mr. Rico's selling himself short. When you're lily white like a gringo and well over 6 feet, in other words, you tower over the average Guatemalan and you look like two Guatemalans in one. I think most everyone on the road's got you pegged as a gringo, even from a block or two away. And thus, your gringo advantage is bound to kick in. Anyway, Mr. JR goes on to say, you know what, Johnny? I even got my dad the very same motorcycle a bit ago, and he's been getting out more and more. And he started taking dance classes. More on that later. You'll be surprised on how that opened up his love life. Anyway, Johnny, we've got father and son motorcycles now, and we like to cruise around and just have fun. It's really opened up the city for us, too. No more planning to do something tomorrow or at a certain hour, because going in the car at that time would be an hour in traffic. No worries now. Hell, I can zip up the hill and visit Captain Mango whenever I want, whereas previously it would take some strategic planning, or I'd be stuck in traffic both ways. With a motorcycle, you could go anywhere. My dad and I have even ridden up a volcano. Group trips are always fun, a great experience. My dad is even buying a KTM adventure bike today so he can go on longer trips, which is just going to force me to get on one as well. Damn, but it is fun. Though, of course, as with all good things, there's a bad side. So then what's the downside for Guatemalan motorcyclists? Guatemalan automobile drivers and truckers, of course. I'm from California, and I grew up on motorcycles, so I'm extremely comfortable on them. As stated before, I ride much safer than the locals. But shit happens. For example, yesterday, while in heavy traffic, I was splitting lanes on my bike, like all the other motorcycles, and waiting for the way to clear, when a car ran over my foot. Not a giant deal, really, since I'm bigger than the car, but it still hurt. Also, Johnny, 2 weeks ago, while driving home Saturday night, some, I assume, drunk person ran a stop sign and hit me. I'm fine, by the way, but here's the kicker. They ran. Yep, it was a hit and run. They left me lying in the street and didn't stop. Turns out, after I got up and shouted a choice expletive at them, they took off fast. This, Johnny, leads us to two stories. One at the repair shop and one at the police. So the following Monday came and I took the bike in for a repair estimate. There was only slight damage, so I wasn't expecting anything big, but the repair estimate came out to almost half the price of what I bought the bike for. This was at the flagship Hero dealership in the country, so I wasn't expecting to get a deal, but also not expecting to have them rip me off. That's the downside to being an obvious gringo. Gringo prices and the gringo gouge. That will happen sometimes. Anyway, upon receiving the news, my dad and I went down to the shop and asked them to show us the damage report. My dad, as you know but your listeners don't, was a professional motorcycle racer in his former life, so no one's going to dick him around. Suddenly, the list of charges went from a huge repair bill to needing to replace just the handlebars and a mirror. Just goes to show that you need to find a reliable and honest mechanic, and there are a lot of those down here. I'm currently still looking for a good motorcycle repair mechanic, but thanks to Rita, your seminar logistics lady, I have an excellent car mechanic, which, need I say, is another advantage to coming down to the seminar, that is, meeting people like Rita, Captain Mango, and me. Now, if you're wondering about police involvement, here's how that went down. After the accident, I rode my motorcycle home very slowly, as luckily I was around the corner from my house. I phoned up my assistant. Yes, I have one, because it's very cheap to have one down here. A personal assistant, huh? Who would have thunk? And I'm no high roller, and we're not even in Hollywood. So, yes, I have one, because they're very cheap, and since I've been down here in Guatemala, I've become very spoiled. All right, me, Johnny, here, throwing in my 2 cents. You know, he's right about that. Us gringos and expats getting spoiled. That happens, you know, when you've got a gardener taking care of your lawn and washing your car, and cleaning lady coming in every day, cooking for you and doing your shopping, as well as washing and folding your clothes, etc., etc. You know, when I was in high school, I had a friend whose parents were filthy rich. Owned a big internationally known musical instrument company. You'd know the name, I'm not going to say it. He was the nicest guy in the world, but his life was so different than mine. It was like he was a little prince. He didn't have to lift a finger around the house to do anything, and he was fine with that. Born with a silver spoon, as they say. His parents had a big estate, maintenance guys, gardeners, cleaning ladies, the works. And I used to think, man, how'd he get so lucky? He even had a driver when he wanted one. Little did I know that that kind of life is available to every single average or middle-class gringo who comes down to Latin America. Yet, that's the life of maybe 1 in 10,000 people up in the States. And at the time, I'd never thought in a million years I'd be in that position. No, I'm not talking about rich like him. I'm talking about being so spoiled by having other people do the grunt work for you. Though, it's something every expat gringo finds out in due time. It's something you can't really believe till you get down here. It's hard to explain to someone living up in the States. It seems so out of the ordinary, but it isn't. Down here in Latin America, practically every gringo expat lives that life or something close to it. Now, of course, you don't have to. You could do your own laundry, the dishes, clean the house, do the maintenance and gardening, etc., if you like that kind of thing. But I don't. How about you? Even guys I know living on the average Social Security check have a cleaning lady. For people up in the States living on Social Security alone, that would be absolutely impossible to do. For example, one of my retired gringo expat buddies has a cleaning lady come in once a week. Not because that's all he can afford, it's just he's got a tiny apartment. He's a single guy in a small two-bedroom apartment, so that's all that's necessary. He pays her the outrageous sum of $18 a week. He tells me she works 8 hours a week, so she makes the outrageous sum of $2.25 an hour. You might wonder, how did they come to settle on that princely salary? He asked her what she wanted to get paid in the interview, and that's what she said. But I digress. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Talking about the police getting involved in Joe's accident. Anyway, Joe Rico says he had his personal assistant go down and file a police report. Turns out he said the police didn't seem to care and gave her another number to call on Monday to make an appointment to file a report. It seemed like they were giving her the runaround. Then he says, something to note here, as Johnny says, this is a slightly racist, very classist society. And guess who generally rides motorcycles? A typical stereotype. It's usually not the top-end, high-class people, but the poor, sweaty masses who've just barely graduated from riding a chicken bus. That's the stereotype, though there are KTMs, BMWs, and some other very expensive large motorcycles like Harleys being ridden here. Though only about 1 in 500 motorcyclists are the wealthy high-end guys. The point is, he says, for the cops, it wasn't a high-priority report at all, until they found out the accident happened in Zone 14, the best zone and neighborhood in the city. and that it happened to a gringo. Oh boy, when they found that out, did things change. Made their eyes light up, made all the difference in the world. After a phone interview, they asked me to come in and file an in-person report. I did so, and during the interview process, the officer told me that all of the cameras in the city did not work because the company the government hired to install and maintain them hadn't been paid, and that they were of such low resolution that even if they did work, it was unlikely that they'd be able to see the license plates of anyone. All right, me, Johnny, chiming in again. Now, for all you longtime listeners, you heard me mention that many times, that you may see cameras in lots of places, government buildings, street corners, parking lots, but most probably no one's minding the monitors, or the guy who is asleep at the wheel. Because those whole massive surveillance systems Latin American governments purchase and install seem to always fall into disrepair for lack of maintenance. They may work the first 6 months, but after that, the word maintenance, remember, is not in the Spanish lexicon. So anyway, JR says the cop told him none of the cameras worked. But guess what? He goes on to say, I was in luck. As it happened in Zone 14, and there are lots of high-quality private cameras there, the cop said they will make an attempt to get footage privately and to find the person that hit me. We'll see. I'll keep you updated on that, but I'm not holding my breath. So, Johnny, that's my accident report. But there's more news. I've ended my relationship with my girlfriend, so ladies, watch out. Mr. Rico is back on the market. Yep, Johnny, it's over. You've met her, Johnny. She was young and beautiful, way too sexy for me, but it just didn't work out. The point of mentioning this was to segue into a mating and dating segment, Johnny, especially for older gringos and expats. So, guys, let me point out, I'm in my mid to late 30s with a higher BMI index than I'd like. And not terribly good looking, but I have zero problems with the ladies here in Guatemala. Like I said, my recent ex-girlfriend was beautiful, sexy, and 24. Hell, even my 68-year-old dad had three girlfriends at the same time. One was 28, one 35, and one 47. Remember, he's a 68-year-old guy, and he ain't aging out like George Clooney either. So how come he's getting so lucky? It ain't luck. You see, I taught him my special pickup line, and I'll share that secret with you and your listeners now. You find a girl you like, you walk right up to her, look her right in the eye, and say, now, this is the hard part, you say hi. Works every time. Yep, just say hi. Even if you're older, think you have no hope, have been beaten down by unsuccessful romantic entanglements up north, I promise, it's different down here, way different, so there's hope for anyone, no matter how disastrous your love life was up in the States, or how plain-looking you are. Just brush your teeth, wear clean clothes, and don't come off as a slouch or a backpacker. By the way, Johnny, I was listening to one of your recent shows about mating and dating, and yes, it's true, learn some Spanish. Things will go much smoother, even if you only know some basic stuff. They'll be very excited to help you improve and learn your Spanish, too. However, if you don't know any Spanish at all, you can use Google Translate initially, but as long as they see you're trying to learn Spanish, they'll put up with the translator. That being said, guys, learn some Spanish. It's really not that hard to be conversational with some practice. To start, download Duolingo and practice. Again, not doing so is just another lame excuse. Oh, and for those of you that come to the next seminar, you'll meet me, and I've been known to take groups out and experience the nightlife. You can practice your bad Spanish with some of the local ladies with me. You'll see the difference. Then he says, I know, Johnny, you don't like to harp too much on the mating and dating thing on your show. Maybe I should start a Latin mating and dating podcast. You think there's an audience for that? Well, JR, me, Johnny again. Absolutely. You'd be just a guy for it, too, but you got so many things going. You sure you have the time? Then he says, regarding my 68-year-old dad and the mating dating thing, he started taking salsa dance lessons. Talk about a way to meet women. Oh man, not only are all of the girls in the class lining up to dance with him, some of them who are very beautiful too. Thing is, when we go out now and he gets going, all the girls in the bars want to dance with him too. Remember, fellas, he's 68 years old. So dancing is a great way to meet girls. I know. Gringos always say, I don't or can't dance. It's a gringo sickness. I think by now you know what I have to say about that. It's another gringo excuse, and you need to get over it. I personally cannot dance either. But you know what? Nobody cares. Especially not the ladies. The ladies are killer dancers, but they're in competition with themselves, not you. You don't need to dance all night. Just dance a song or two every hour or so, and that will go a long way. Besides, is it so bad that you get to be close to that beautiful woman you had your eye on all night? Please, get out there and dance. Get over it. Oh, and one more thing, Johnny. You know how I mentioned earlier there were people with lots of money down here? Well, get this. Made a new friend while I was at a Bell helicopter event. Don't ask me how I ended up at that event. It was just something that happened. Chalk it up again to the Gringo Advantage. You go out, you meet people, and get invited to crazy things. Anyway, so I meet this guy, and we become friends. After a few months, he asks me if I want to go to breakfast. I say, sure. I ask him where he wants to go. He tells me to meet him at the private part of the Aurora, Guatemala airport later that morning, and we'll go somewhere. I thought a little weird, but okay. Cool enough. So I meet him, and we go further into the airport. I'm thinking there's some cafe for the pilots or something. We walk outside, meet a very nice guy, and my friend and I get into a helicopter. His helicopter. The other nice guy we met was his pilot. I jump into the helicopter. He asks if I want to go to Antigua or Lake Atitlan. I tell him, the lake, why not? And we take off. 20 minutes later, I'm sitting at a beautiful table overlooking Lake Atitlan, having breakfast at a fancy hotel restaurant with my new friend. And you know, it takes more than 3 hours to drive to Lake Atitlan from Guatemala City. 20 minutes by copter. Just to put that in perspective for the listeners. Anyway, we finish a leisurely breakfast, hop back in the chopper, and head home. When we land, I thank him for breakfast. We part ways. Where else does that happen on Earth? I'm just some guy from a small town in California. But down here in Guatemala, I'm friends with a guy with his own helicopter. And politicians, heads of government institutions, big and small. Again, it's that gringo advantage, Johnny. Before I came down here, I would have never believed it. Anyway, Johnny, I think I've ranted way too long. So I'll close with this. Just get down here, everyone. If you're listening to this show, you're better prepared than 99% of everyone else. And the seminar exaggerates that preparedness even further. You owe it to yourself to at least come down and take a look. It really did change my life for the better. How else can you explain that I almost always have a smile on my face? And now that I've got a motorcycle, even in traffic. Signing off for now, Joe Rico. Well, Joe, thanks for that. See you soon.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.